This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on every purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
From NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras.
And I'm Ana Maria Sayer. Let the chisme begin. Felix, did you know that Omar Apollo has his own hot sauce brand?
I had no idea, honestly.
I think most people don't. In addition to being a major global star on the rise, he is also, in fact, in the business of bringing tasty condiments to his fans. It's actually his mom's recipe.
So he's in the business of sharing his Mexican-American culture through his music and then through food. Interesting.
You always have a beautiful way of putting it, Felix. He's been doing that actually a lot lately in his music. His latest album, Ivory, includes a solid mix of hip-hop, indie sad boy singing, and even some ranchera-esque belting mixed in.
A lot of real cool stuff on that record. And as we've done with Alt Latino in the past, we're catching Omar Apollo at a critical point in his development as an artist, like almost at the very beginning. The conversation you had with him showed how he's revealing more of who he is and continually showcasing his culture through his music.
Since his SoundCloud days, which were, believe it or not, just a few years ago, he's been leaning into, I don't know, what feels natural and authentic to who he really is.
And in just a few years, he's hanging out with some of the biggest names in the music business. That's pretty amazing.
Which I think we know all too well, Felix, can be both a good thing and a bad thing.
No kidding.
He actually had a moment when he was first signed to a major label where he let too many voices influence the type of music that he was making. He told me in our interview that he didn't really feel like the music was his, and so he actually scrapped the entire album just a few days before he was supposed to tour with it.
That takes a lot of courage and a lot of self-confidence, man.
I grilled him on where that courage came from, how he got from his basement in Indiana to becoming an icon for queer Latinx kids around the nation. Spoiler, it did take a little help from Pharrell.
The music of this young man from the Midwest is a reflection of Mexican culture among folks his age. It's less a sound of accordions and mariachis, but more of soul, hip-hop, and other contemporary sounds. It's quite a different sound from what my generation expects, but honestly, I'm all about it. So let's dig into that interview.
Oh, hi. Welcome to the show. This is all.
Thank you for having me, darling.
Oh, my God. Thank you. I'm going to tell everyone that. I'm like, Omar called me darling. So you were talking about your art and kind of the way that you express yourself and how you landed on music as that being the form. You said you started with dance. Can we hear a little bit about that?
Well, yeah, I started dancing when I was like 11. I would like gig in like third grade.
How'd you get into it?
My mom, my sister was already doing it, and then I saw my sister doing it. I was like, oh, I want to do it too. So they like dressed me up like a mariachi.
Yeah.
And then I would just do these little dances. They'd pick me up from school and I'd go perform at some college or something. Yeah, I did like one dance, the raspa, at the end. I was such a little kid. Everyone else was like, 17 or 16. Mm-hmm. But I had to be like 10 or 9. And I was really small as a kid. I didn't get taller till I was like 16 or something.
Wow. Okay. So you were the showstopper. You were the closer.
Yeah, I was the closer. I was the anchor.
They brought you in for the good vibes at the end.
Right. I still know the dance. Awesome. It's really simple.
So you're dancing, that's like your thing that you start out with. And
right.
Then how did you end up landing where you are now?
Well, I started dancing, yeah. And then I kept dancing till I was like 16 or 17. Like, for real. Like, I was really, I was going to, like, I was saving up my money to go to, like, choreography classes. Mm. I didn't go to many. I went to, like, 3 or 4 that were, like, $10 or, like, $20. Mm-hmm. And I'd save up. I'd take the train and I'd go. And then music was always a thing. When I was 12, I would play guitar in church. But my guitars got stolen when I was, like, 14.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they got stolen from, one from church and one from my house.
Damn.
Yeah, we got robbed a lot.
Yeah, yeah, it's, and they, like, were after your guitars.
They would take everything. Like, it's, yeah, like, my mom's wedding rings and, like...
Wow.
Yeah, so, like, I was like, oh, I don't have enough money. So that's when I got a job at McDonald's and, like, saved up and got another one. And I was, like, 17, 18.
Okay.
And then that's when I started making music, when I was 17, 18. So I was like, oh, I like dancing, but music feels right now. So I started doing that. And then it kind of just, like... snowballed.
Yeah,
I kind of knew what was, like, sounded good to me, because I knew when my music wasn't good. I remember it being not good. I was like, oh, I'm going to get good.
Do you ever listen back to, yeah, like, early stuff?
It's cringy. I played, like, it for some friends, and they're like, this isn't even bad, bro. But I'm like, nah, this is terrible. I was, like, so close to the microphone, like, I was singing like this, all breathy, like.
You were, like, going for the, like, I feel like we all have that moment when you're first trying, you know, music or whatever it is, and you're like, I gotta go for the thing that, like, everyone, you know, it's so sick to do this or that or whatever.
Yeah,
have that,
but then
style.
You find out what, like, works for you, and then you, like, exaggerate that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what led to it.
What did you feel worked for you? Like, when did you find that sweet spot?
I remember I was working at a Jimmy John's when I was, like, 18 or 19 or something like that. I had never liked my music before that. I had been making it for, like, a year. And then I was just like, oh, like, I don't like it yet. I remember one time I just made a voice memo on my phone, and it was so sick. Like, it was so, mm-hmm, it's still up. You, mm-hmm, can find it. It's called Yellow Jasper on SoundCloud. I bet you call mine. I bet it's all right. But when the same song plays, I get flooded with memories. It was all freestyle, and then I just, like, as soon as I got home from work, I went and recorded it just exactly how I had the voice memo, just, like, a little cleaner and, like, added harmonies. Mm-hmm. And then I was just like, oh, from then on, it was just like, okay, it just turned on a switch, and then I was able to just do shit.
Yeah. Why would you keep going at it if you literally didn't like what you were making?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I had this feeling. It was just like, oh, I know I could do it. Like, I know I can. I just loved it so much. I didn't care. And I remember at that age, you couldn't tell me anything. Like, people were saying, people in my family were like, you suck at singing. You're a terrible singer. I wasn't good yet. Like, I wasn't good.
Yeah.
I had to learn. It bothered me, but not, like, in a way that it's like, oh, I'm not going to do it anymore.
Yeah.
Like, the same thing when I was dancing, too. People would, like, make fun of me, and then I'd just be like, well, whatever. I'm different. I'm like, because around there, no one makes music, no one dances, no one directs, mm-hmm, no one, like, you know, you go to L.A., New York, oh, my dad's a director, my mom's in music. Or, like, you know, it's, like, it's not far-fetched. But out there, it's, like, you work at the steel mill, and then, like, do meth, and then, like... That's it. I remember there was a point in time, like, you know, around 2020, where, like, I was accepting other people's opinions too much. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, really, really messing with how my music sounded.
Yeah.
And I literally just had to cut everybody off and, like, rent a house in, like, Idlewild and just make music by myself, no opinions. Because it affects, somebody says something, I'm like, oh, well, I'm thinking about it. Like, mm-hmm. And so, yeah, now I'm going to make it differently, so... I found that if I'm just, like, alone, just boundary setting, I feel like you should do that in all parts of your life.
Yeah. Pillows soft as leaves that fall in November. I want to be alone. When you write, are you thinking about who's going to be listening when you're writing?
I think that my songwriting's, like, definitely developed over the years, because before, like, when I made my first songs, they kind of were all about, like, unrequited love, because I hadn't, mm-hmm, really been in a relationship yet. I was so young. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like I'm writing more, like, of these complex feelings of, like, you know, relationships, life, money, all that stuff.
Yeah. When you say you're working on boundaries, like, obviously, with who you're working with, making music and whatever, that's one part of it. But do you feel like you're also working on boundaries within your work, like, in what you decide to share with the world? I mean, it's so vulnerable,
Oh, for sure,
right?
For sure, yeah. I've definitely, like, taken things off and just because of that. Like,
yeah, because you weren't ready to, like, put that out
there. I'm just like, oh, that was too much. Like, that's too there. Like, I'm good. You don't need that. It's sometimes you're just letting go. Like, you just need to say shit.
Yeah.
It depends what's your vibe. If that's how you're feeling and, like, and you say it in, like, a clever way, then it's dope.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think my next music is going to be like that. I'm going to just really, like, be honest.
Why? What changed?
I mean, even the fact that I'm, like, thinking right now about what to say, like, I don't want it to feel like that. Like, yeah. I want it to feel like expression, you know? Like, I want it to feel like, you ever, like, leave dinner and you're like, damn, did I say too much? I just want to be able to just say shit and just, like, say deal with it, like. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. It's, like, that's just how it is. That's how I am. Like, what you gonna do? Like.
Yeah. Like, putting more of yourself into it and then, like, right. Also, once you do that, being able to not, like, it's like literally what you said, like, oh, did I say too much? Like, and then you're playing it back, right? And you're yeah. like, should I have said this? Should I have said that?
Right.
So it's like being vulnerable in the music to, like, say it and then also to not, like,
yeah, because then it's like no surprises.
Yeah.
A lot of things can feel performative, especially when you're talking. It's like people be themselves all the time, like, but once you put a camera or, like, you know, a microphone, it's like obviously you're thinking a little differently. You're like, okay, well. Mm. This is going to be, you know, digitally immortalized forever. Yeah. So, like, maybe I should watch what I say.
Yeah. Well, especially for you. Like, people are, yeah. I don't know, I can go out there and say whatever, and then no one's going to bring it back to me. But you, I mean, people are, like, right. paying attention to what you're saying.
No, it's super important. And I think that, like, you need to realize that. But I also think that, like, you shouldn't not be yourself because of it. 'Cause I really don't want to be here alone. Too many people I don't see no more. Too many feelings I don't feel no more. 'Cause I really don't wanna be here alone. Too many people I don't need no more. So many doubts that I stopped keeping score. Just like that performative nature of things is really like, that's what it felt like when I first started doing it, like in interviews. I'd be like, oh, like, you know, I gotta be like, I gotta use big words, I gotta yeah. da or whatever. Maybe not big words, because I don't know big words, but no, when I was younger, I thought like that, because I'd love seeing interviews and I'd be like, yo, they sound so smart. But I'm like, if I'm not, like, if this is how I talk, this is how I talk. Like, yeah. you know, I don't know.
Do you feel
I
like.
I do know, but like, you know.
You do know, but. Yeah. No, I know. I know you know, but I know.
I know that you know that I know.
You. Being as big as you are, right? Like, you have skyrocketed in terms of your music, and you're so talented, and it's well deserved. But I think more than just the music being what it is, a lot of people obviously look to you as someone who, right, a lot of us traditionally have not seen. You're like, you are representing so many different people who see themselves in you. And speaking about being performative, do you ever feel a pressure to perform in a certain way or be a certain way or say certain things because so many people are looking up to you as like a representation of themselves?
Yeah, of course, fully. I think it's like really important, especially when like queer Latino kids come up to me and they'll tell me like they have the same amount of siblings of me, their parents are from the same place, they're also queer, and like I'm like, oh, this is bigger than what I thought, you know. Yeah. Or like when kids are like, I started playing guitar because of you, like I'm like, yo, that's nuts. Because I don't even think I go home and I watch P-Valley, you know? Like, and
you were on the record just saying that. Just saying.
And it's definitely something super important. And I always try to say something at the shows and, like, try to make everyone feel seen. Because, you know, that was definitely something that was lacked when I was a kid. And, like, when I'd go to shows, I never really felt represented. I never really felt, like, you know, so I think it is important.
Our conversation with Omar Apollo will continue right after this short break.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Hulu. Dive into the chilling new Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, the riveting adaptation of the acclaimed true crime book. Based on shocking true events, Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a murder that lays bare a small community's darkest secrets. Go deep into the hidden world of the town's tormented teenagers as detectives race to solve the sinister crime. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays, only on Hulu. This message comes from NPR sponsor Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's teladochealth/whatsyourwhy.
Last year, over 20,000 people joined the Body Electric study to change their sedentary, screen-filled lives. And guess what?
We saw amazing effects.
Now you can try NPR's Body Electric Challenge yourself. Listen to updated and new episodes wherever you get your podcasts.
Being an artist and being a musician, it's almost like its own form of like going through therapy, right?
Right.
Where it's like, I feel like you do grow in your ability to like express yourself and mm-hmm. like put everything out there. And so it's like now you have this career where you very publicly put yourself out there. Like, mm-hmm. has that impacted the relationship with your parents?
My parents didn't know that I made music for like a couple years. Like they did, but the first time they came to a show was when it was like 1,200 people. And they were just so confused.
Wow.
They were like, oh, this is someone else's show, right? Like you're opening? I was like, no. I was like, I'm not opening. And they're like, what? And then like, I remember my mom, she was just said she was crying. She heard everyone screaming my name. She was just so confused. She was like, what? Screaming for Omar? Screaming for Omar? She
That's
was so confused.
Cute.
And I mean, after that, obviously they're just super proud and super into it. But if I, you know, went through what they went through and like crossed the border and like had kids out here and didn't really know the language, mm-hmm. I would be scared if my kid told me he wants to be a singer too. Like, I'm not pressed.
Yeah.
It would have been nice for them to be supportive in other ways and probably would have helped my self-esteem at the time. I really believe that people can change and people can grow. And yeah, I'm not holding anything against them.
Yeah.
We have a great relationship now and like, it's cool. Honestly, like when, I don't know how to say this without sounding like arrogant, but like when you pay the bills, they can't say that much to you. Like they really can't. You won't believe what happened. My parents are very, you know, traditional mm-hmm. Mexican parents.
Mm-hmm.
I don't curse around them. Like, I grew up like super Catholic too, so I'm just like over here with it.
Yep.
But no, they understand, and I get like, you know, that religion brings them comfort. I get that, and I think that like, you know.
Yeah.
I had to just look for comfort in other ways. Well, my dad has always been really open-minded. Mm. He's like, well, was only into religion because of my mom. But my mom is like, she's really starting to like open up and open her mind a little bit and be like, oh, wow, like there are different religions.
Right?
And like,
what a fascinating concept.
No, she's known that, obviously. But I'm just saying like, she's really like trying. Which is important to me. It's just like, yeah, as long as you're trying, like, I get it. You were raised your whole life thinking one thing, one way. And then, like, God gives you this crazy kid who, like, wants to be a singer and is, like, queer. So, like, I get it. You know what I'm saying? He probably gave it to you for a reason.
And like, he's like, this is going to help you grow.
Right? It's like, okay, like, we reached the ceiling here.
Yeah. And that, I mean, you doing what you do and being who you are has to have opened up their world in so many ways.
Yeah, it really has.
I know I asked you earlier if you were speaking to anyone when you write, but like, is your family a thought? Are your parents a thought when you were working on
I just made this song recently. No, before that, I never really talked about my parents in songs, but I just wrote a song. I called my mom and told her about it. She was like, oh, like, and I'm obsessed with it. And I was talking about my parents. And it's cool to have a song that's like not about love. Well, I guess love, like, but like not about romantic love. It's more about like self-love and the things that you deal with and the real thoughts that you have that are just real. Like, it's like, that's just what's going on. Because that's what's important to me is, like, yeah. family.
I mean, that's, if I want you're kids. A good Mexican kid, then you'll right? know familia is the most important of all things, as my grandma texts me every single day. Don't forget us.
Right, right.
Are you more of like a, you love performing person, or you'd rather be in the studio, or? Because you tour low-key a lot.
Yeah, I do enjoy touring. I feel like there's going to be a point where I really enjoy it because I'm really, really going to dial in the music. And once I do that, then, like, I've never made music thinking about a live show.
Really?
Yeah, it's always just been, like, vibes.
Yeah.
And then I was like, no, like, I'm going to go in and make music, like, specifically for, like, a festival or specifically for it to just, like, so I could be super excited for it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, just, like, that kind of intention. It's like, oh, I'm ready for the road because it's, like, this is the music that I would want to make if I was going on the road.
Mm-hmm. How did you, because I know, like, obviously you were, like, making everything by yourself in your bedroom, and then you go on and you bring in Pharrell and you bring in all these right. insane minds and people. How did you navigate relying on just yourself and just your sound and just what felt right to you? Like, how did you bring in other voices the second time around? Obviously,
cause, yeah. you know. It was funny because the song that didn't come out, this is another song. We were just, like, on the keyboard, like very, it was just, you could tell it was all feeling. And then he trusts himself. That's what's crazy. He's just mm-hmm. like, boom. He's like, you like it? I was like, yeah. He's like, all right, I'll be back in 30 minutes. Oh my God. And then and he like went, and there's another session in the house. So he went, like, Pusha T was there. He came back 30 minutes later. And I was like, when he was gone, I was like, all right, I gotta just go crazy.
So that's so high pressure.
I made the whole song in 30 minutes, the whole thing. And recorded it and everything. He came back upstairs. He's like, can I listen to it? I was like, yeah. This is Tamagotchi. 12 us through Milwaukee. Bitch, I'm making bread. Sound like Pavarotti. Bitch, my Vaseline. You can't get it off me. Bitch, this not my scene. Vamos pa Miami. Fill up my waistline. I'm in LA for hours away. Just hit me on FaceTime. Feeling so good. Singing the bass line. So I played it and he starts freaking out. And I'm just like, oh, wow, he trusts what I just did naturally. Like, this is just me being me in its purest form. It's like, mm-hmm. this is what I would do, you know? It's not like, oh, what would he like or, you know? So then that just gave me reassurance of, like, trusting yourself, your intuition, like, your gut. I'm just like, well, I'll just keep going. I was like, we can make five more. Like, I like, just get, send him more beats.
As many
I like,
as you want.
So he got super hyped up, and he, like, brought up everybody from downstairs. He brought Pusha T up. He's like, y'all gotta listen to this shit. God. It was really cool. It was like, you know, when someone that you look up to just, like, fucks mm-hmm. with you. Like, mm-hmm. yeah.
Even that right there, I'm like, well, if I walked in the studio with Pharrell, I would be like, I'm going to make whatever I think is going to make Pharrell happy. Like, in that moment, what inside of you made you be like, no, I'm just going to be true to myself. Like, I got to make
I think
make
it was just like, that's all I know how to do is, like, be myself. So, like, I honestly didn't think he was going to like it. Because I was just having fun. I was literally just freestyling, like, mm-hmm. and I was just like, well, I'm not going to sit here and, like, you know, write something that's, like, because he was on some club shit. He told me, he's like, I want some club shit. So I'm like, oh, so, like, I'm just be talking about, like, you know, the club.
Whatever the club is.
Yeah, so yeah. I was just like, no, it was just, like, more, like, you know, arrogant energy, like, pedantic, mm-hmm. like, very, like, bravado, like, mm-hmm. kind of thing.
So having released your album, like, you have a few months now, right, since it's been out in the world, is there anything about it that feels different or feels like the way it was received is, I don't know, how do you feel about it?
Oh, man, I loved it. I mean, I went on tour, like, while the album came out, and people, like, knew the lyrics, so I was like, oh, I was really happy about that.
Yeah.
You kind of could tell the favorites right away. I'm still, like, working. It's kind of the same. I mean, I probably get more highs at the airport now. Definitely. I was like, oh, they saying hi to me at the airport now? It's different.
I mean, you're kind of hard to miss.
I'm too big. Like, that's what it is. Like, my, like,
tallest
I'm too tall.
Tallest Mexican to ever live.
Literally. 6'5". There's got to be another one. We have to take a picture.
Literally all day
long. Oh, I did meet one. I did meet a guy who's, like, my height, if not taller. A Mexican guy. He was in, he owns this crazy taco shop. He's kind of, like, my age. Yeah, it's where? So good. I can't think. Oh, Cuantos Tacos. It's in like Texas.
Cuantos Tacos. Where in Texas?
Austin, I think.
Okay, you have to text it to me because I want to go.
It's really good.
That sounds sick.
Yeah, it was like amazing tacos. Like, it wasn't like average.
Okay, Texas or Southern California tacos?
I mean, the best tacos I've had in California were in Compton in some guy's backyard.
Okay.
They got shut down, but...
Oh, they got shut down because there was another backyard place.
Yeah, so good. And then, I mean, my mom's tacos are crazy, but the tacos in Texas are different.
Yeah.
They really know what they're doing. Not that Los Angeles doesn't know what they're doing.
You better be careful.
No, they do know what they're doing.
It's on the record.
I know it's on the record. I'll say it.
Do you stand by it?
Yeah,
you want to say that again?
I'll say it again. I'm just saying, like, LA has great tacos, but my mom has crazy tacos.
I believe that.
Like, it's insane.
I believe that.
Like, my mom, like...
Nothing beats,
When she came from Mexico, they were able to get a loan from the bank, and they opened up a restaurant. And
what?
And they called it El Super Taco, and they, like, had clientele. They didn't make any money, but, like, because they didn't really, you know, it was their first time opening a business.
Yeah.
And they got shut down, but the tacos were popping.
Wow.
Yeah, then, like, the new owners that they sold it to, well, my mom used that money to pay all the debt, and, like, they didn't make anything from selling it, but... Yeah. They kept the name, and my mom gave them the recipe.
She gave them the recipe?
And they would sell it, because it was popping. Yeah, it was like, it was great tacos.
Is it still there?
No, now it's like a Shark's.
I was going to say, you got to go back and reclaim Super Taco.
Right? I need to.
I mean, maybe that's the best tacos next in the area. Move, right?
But my mom's the only one that really knows how to make it, and she don't need to be doing that.
You mean you're not going to force your mom to...
No. I mean, I did start, like, a hot sauce company, and she, like, helped me with the sauce.
No way. You have a hot sauce?
Yeah, it's called Dish It Hot. We're doing a relaunch soon.
Shit.
We're going to send you guys some.
Oh, my God, please.
But, yeah, that was the hot sauce she used at the restaurant.
Wow. Okay.
But she shut it down because of me. Because I was born. She couldn't take it. She would like raising kids in the restaurant. She was like, oh, I can't do this.
But then you're now selling the hot sauce. So it came full circle, I guess.
Yeah.
Wow. I will be looking out for that hot sauce. I'm expecting to get some in the mail.
Get some.
Well, this has been absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
It's really been nice to get to chat with you.
No, Anna, it's fascinating to me to listen to this interview of an artist that's pretty much fully developed, and yet there's still so much more we can expect from him. At the same time, it's almost a contradiction, but in Omar's case, it's true.
And that's exactly what we're talking about, right, Felix? Omar is all about sitting in those contradictions. He has so many plans for how he wants to continue to transform as an artist, but as a person... During our interview, especially as such a young person, he struck me as being really solid. He felt very grounded to me. Family's super complicated, and I really felt him when he talked about it, but it feels like he's done a lot of work on that and come to terms with what a lot of us kids with Mexican Catholic parents tend to struggle with.
You know, those things are not limited to your generation. You know, that's intergenerational. These things are struggling with the things that our parents stand for. And I think that Omar Apollo really handles all that stuff very, very well in his music. And in particular, and in this Tiny Desk performance, he brought all of who he is. He was stripped down. He was singing rancheras. He was singing his soulful R&B. He was laying himself out there. It's a very powerful performance.
Oh, my God. I 100% agree. I mean, I think Omar, all of the Omars are on full display in that performance. His voice on Petrified, fun fact, actually, for everyone to know, he sang that one twice, and it gave me literal chills both times. I'd highly recommend checking it out.
That's it for this week. You have been listening to Alt Latino, which is a production of NPR Music. Our editor is Hazel Sills. The Alt Latino intern is Vida Dadu. And our new production assistant is Fee O'Reilly.
And our audio producer is Ron Scalzo. I'm Ana Maria Sayer.
And I'm Felix Contreras.
Thank you, as always, for listening. We'll see you next week.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Mint Mobile. From the gas pump to the grocery store, inflation is everywhere. So Mint Mobile is offering premium wireless starting at just $15 a month. To get your new phone plan for just $15, go to mintmobile.com/switch.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Rosetta Stone, an expert in language learning for 30 years. Right now, NPR listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership to 25 different languages for 50% off. Learn more at rosettastone.com/NPR.
In this country, some truths aren't self-evident. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of stories as wide-ranging and real as the people who tell them, we celebrate the Black experience for all its soul and richness. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get podcasts.